WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Welcome to WrestleSpective Radio. This is Jason Mann, and with me today, as always, talking about WWE pay-per-views is Don Owens of Future Endeavors. How you doing, Don?
What's up, Jason? Good to be back.
This is interesting because usually you're pretty rah-rah WWE, and I'm a little more, cynical. Maybe that's a little strong, but I'm a little more skeptical anyway. But I think this show I like quite a bit better than you did.
Yeah, that's what I'm very curious to get into. I was very excited when I saw on Twitter you were ranting about how much you enjoyed it. And I was like, of course, out of all the pay-per-views, this is the one he likes. And, when I thought it was kind of lackluster. So I thought that was very, very interesting and should make for a good conversation here tonight.
Hopefully we won't disappoint the people now that you've set up expectations so high, but we'll go ahead and start. We started off with a pretty long Rock promo, which was good, although I don't really actually remember anything that he said other than just kind of a rallying up the crowd. But, you know, the Rock pretty much always, you know, the Rock's really never had a bad promo other than maybe some, you know, maybe some of the silly Kevin Kelly ones or Michael Cole ones back in the day. But other than that, they're all pretty good. So good times, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's always good to see The Rock. I'm a huge Rock fan, and of course, it was expected to see him come out, you know, right at the beginning since he was the host of the show. I did think he ran on too long, though, and as we progress through the night here talking about the card, there's a lot of things that happen that make me always kind of lead back to this, saying that, you know, if he would have just wrapped it up a little bit more, we could have had some more time for some other things. And unfortunately, it's that and a couple other segments that killed some momentum for the rest of the card and eventually even took a match off the card. So it's stuff like that why I didn't like the fact of how long he went, especially when it's just, when I say wrestle, you say mania, I was like, come on, like, we're really going to do that right now? You know, I say yabba, you say dabba. It stretched on way too long. He should have just came out, introduced the show, talked about, you know, it's going to be so electrifying and I guarantee you a great night, and kind of just got right into it. So, it's unfortunate that I think he did take up too much time.
Well, I can see where you're coming from on that, but they were paying to see him. I mean, you know, he was, you know, a pretty big centerpiece of the fact that the attraction of the show was, hey, you know, The Rock's going to be here and he's guest hosting. And so, like, I think the fact that, you know, there was a lot of him, I think, you know, if there had been, you know, if there had been less of him, I think people might have been disappointed. Now, you know, you could argue with one or two of the comedy things, or you could say, yeah, maybe it went a minute too long. But I think, you know, I think they had to incorporate him as a major part of the show, or else it would have been a disappointment.
No, that's totally true. And in the big scheme of things, I feel they didn't use him enough, you know, because, you know, for being the host of the show, you only saw him, what, three times in the entire 4 hours? So I think he should have done a little bit more, is maybe introducing the matches or interacting with some people backstage a little bit more. So I totally see what you're saying. Exactly. I mean, he was billed to be the host, and people were paying money to see him there. So, it's funny because I think he ran on too long in the beginning, but at the same time, I don't think they utilized him enough throughout the entire card as well. So it was kind of a hit and miss for me.
Okay. The first match was Edge against Alberto Del Rio, and kind of a surprise being the world title match being first, and Alberto Del Rio being the Royal Rumble winner. I know that probably didn't make you very happy, but I will kind of see where they're coming from by making this first, because if it had been later in the show, I think it could have definitely kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit. So I could kind of see you want to start off with a hot match. You know, you want to start off with, you know, something that's pretty much guaranteed to be good. And it was a very good match. So I think I can see opening the show with it, and I can kind of understand that. I do think that probably next year they need to really make the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania thing really a big deal again, and have it be probably not going to be the main event if John Cena and Rock are going to be the main event, but at, you know, at least, you know, the second from the top or the second feature match needs to be the Royal Rumble winner going after a title. I think, you know, we've had the last few years where that path is definitely from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania has definitely, you know, kind of gotten sidetracked a lot. And I think eventually you hurt the Rumble and its effectiveness by doing that. So.
Yeah, no, 100% agreed. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. My feeling on it is, you know, if you win the Royal Rumble and you earn that number one contendership, you should be in the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, I think WrestleMania should be built around the title match that represents the Royal Rumble winner, you know, and the champion. And, you know, the last couple of years, it hasn't been that way. And then to start off the show with this truly threw me for a curveball. You know, I wasn't 100% sure that they had dumped the United States title match with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan yet. And, you know, from everything I had heard or read, that was supposed to open the show up. So when Del Rio's music came on, I was just floored that they would start the pay-per-view off with the world title match. I think in the bigger scheme of things, the way the rest of the night played out, I agree with you that it was the right decision to do. You know, what a way to start off the pay-per-view, but with, you know, the world heavyweight title on the line. But yeah, I think it totally takes away from the whole fact of the Royal Rumble thing. And I am, you know, extremely, extremely surprised that Del Rio did not walk away the world heavyweight champion. I would have put money on the line on this match. I mean, the fire built around this guy since, you know, January, winning the Royal Rumble. I mean, giving the Rumble to somebody, you know, that quickly was huge. You know, the biggest Royal Rumble in history, 40 men. And then all of a sudden, you know, riding this, you know, wave to WrestleMania, everybody thought he was going to win the title. And I think that's probably why it was swerved at the last minute, was just because, you know, I think Vince always gets in the back of his head, you know, hey, you know, too many people think they know what's up, I'm going to flip the script now. And I think that's exactly what happened here, was that, you know, everyone was predicting Del Rio would walk away with it. So they changed it up. And, you know, I think Del Rio will get a rematch at the next pay-per-view, and they'll probably win it at Extreme Rules here in the next 30 days. But yeah, very, very, very shocked with it, you know, not only being the opening contest, but, you know, not, you know, with Edge retaining, just, you know, threw me for a big, big loop. But as far as the match goes, it was an awesome match. And, you know, I got nothing bad to say about this match whatsoever. I thought Edge looked great. I thought Del Rio looked great. There was some sick moves in there. I loved the top rope enziguri. You know, I thought the Christian Brodus Clay thing on the outside really worked. You know, I think Christian's just been on a roll, and he looked great in his interactions. And, you know, and the spear to end the match I thought was awesome. I mean, totally taking Del Rio off his feet. And the whole match as a whole, just, it truly worked for me. I was a big fan of this match before WrestleMania, you know, started. This was one of the matches I was really looking forward to. And I think it was one that didn't get quite as much hype behind as some of the other matches on the card, which is really sad, being that this was obviously, you know, the World Heavyweight Championship. So it didn't get the push it deserved, but in the end result, you know, I think it was an awesome match and one of the best of the night. So, definitely, you know, props to Edge and Del Rio for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. I also really liked the way they were countering the submissions. I thought that was, you know, really cool sequence with, Del Rio being, you know, getting the arm bar and then Edge, you know, kind of changing it up and getting it into his, you know, the modified sharpshooter move he does, whatever the Edge pun is, that's called. And, yeah, you're right. And Christian, you know, and the Brodus Clay interference worked, and Ricardo even snuck in with, you know, pushing the feet off the ropes. And I thought that all worked real well. And, I could definitely see Christian also moving into this picture since he beat Del Rio a couple times, and them doing a three-way and then maybe moving to, you know, Edge and Christian, one of them turning at some point, which I've said a lot that I, you kind of would rather see Edge and Christian together fighting, you know, a big group of heels rather than, you know, Edge and Christian fighting each other. But, you know, maybe they go in that direction, and I'm sure it would be fine too.
Yeah, I hope they stay on the same side for a while. I, for one, was very disappointed that Christian wasn't added to this match. I think that, you know, there was a lot of rumors that this match was going to become a triple threat, and I, for one, was really, really hoping for that. You know, like you said, I mean, Christian has just been on such a roll on SmackDown, and he beat Del Rio 2 weeks in a row, you know, on SmackDown, and really had positioned himself. I mean, honestly, if you were just watching SmackDown, you would think that the WrestleMania match was going to be Christian and Del Rio. I mean, you know, Christian had kind of overtaken Edge for me in this match, so I was praying to God they added him to this, because I thought it would have been a really awesome triple threat. Unfortunately, they never did. So, yeah, I mean, that's my guess, is that, you know, this will lead into a triple threat at some point, you know, or maybe, you know, I think Del Rio will win it, and then I think the, you know, the angle will switch to more Del Rio versus Christian over the title for a little bit, you know, after Edge is out of the picture. But I definitely see Del Rio getting it here probably at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I could see maybe Edge getting jealous and then, you know, costing Christian or something along those lines too. You know, there's
true.
A lot of different directions they could take with that. So that should be a good story to continue. So I guess maybe you don't want Del Rio to win the first time if you're going to continue the feud. I don't know. I don't think it's a big thing in the big deal in the scheme of things. They didn't win it. It would have kind of been a special moment for him, obviously, but I get the feeling he will eventually get the belt. Did you know that there are only two wrestlers who have ever been in a WWE or world title match at WrestleMania who have not held the championship?
No, I did not.
Yeah, the two are King Kong Bundy and Ted DiBiase.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Very interesting.
I learned that tonight. Wow. I figured out in my head. Maybe if I miss somebody, somebody can tell me, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. So
I think this is also the only WrestleMania that a title never changed hands.
I believe that's the case as well. So Alberto technically is the third guy who's never won a world championship, but I'm guessing he probably will come off that list at a certain point. But
There's no doubt. I mean, this guy has future world champion written all over him. And I truly, truly in my heart of hearts believe that he was scheduled to win the belt at WrestleMania at the time of him winning the Royal Rumble. You know, I don't know what happened in the big scheme of things, but I think that was definitely the original idea. And then I think, you know, like I said, I think as it got closer, once they made the decision to make it the opening contest, it was probably switched to have Edge retain. So there was that face pop, you know, of let's kick off the show. And they always kind of want to have the face win, you know, the first match of the night to kind of, you know, get the crowd pumped. And, you know, I think it was just a quick decision made the last minute to kind of swerve everybody, you know, and that's why I'm pretty damn positive that he's going to end up winning the title, you know, within the next 30 days here at Extreme Rules.
Yeah. But,
you know,
definitely possible. The next match, which I also very much enjoyed, was Cody Rhodes against Rey Mysterio. And I just loved the build-up for this. I think Cody's just done an excellent job, both in his matches and in his promos. And, you know, Mysterio's always, you know, the ultimate babyface. And it's just a cool dynamic with, you know, Rhodes kind of, you kind of saw his point a little bit, when Ray kind of didn't initially take the apology seriously. And then, you know, but of course, you know, being, you know, cocky and arrogant and blowing everything out of proportion, you know, that's just, it was good stuff. I was really impressed with, you know, how they build it up. I thought it was, you know, for basically 4 months building it up before they really had this match. And, you know, they, you know, barely touch each other. I mean, they really did a good job, but, you know, keeping them separated. And, you know, obviously Cody did a few tacks on Ray, but I mean, everything, it was just paced really well. And, you know, the segment where, you know, he and Dusty kind of swerved Ray, you know, was really good and just good stuff. And yeah, this match, I really thought Cody brought it, you know, as far as intensity went. I really thought, you know, they had some really nifty sequences. You know, I liked them, you know, kind of working each other's, like Cody, you know, trying to pull off the knee brace and then finally being able to, and then throwing it away, and then Ray taking Cody's face mask and then using it kind of as an offensive weapon. And then, you know, the finish with Cody, you know, using the knee brace and slamming it in Ray's face. You know, I thought that was just all really well done. I thought it was a, you know, really well paced match. And, you know, the crowd wasn't quite as into it as I was hoping they would. I don't know if it's because SmackDown and less few people watched that, or they didn't quite take Cody seriously yet, or what it was. But I thought the action was great. I thought it was, you know, one of the, you know, obviously the best match on the show was Undertaker Triple H, but I thought it was right there in contention for, you know, being the second best match in the show. What'd you think?
I don't know if I'd say the second best match of the night. I honestly didn't even think about anything past, you know, best match of the night. But it was definitely good. It was very, very good. And, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I thought this was one of the best built-up storylines of the entire card. This one's been going on for a long, long time. And, you know, I was looking very forward to it. This was another match that I knew, you know, they were going to try to steal the show. They were going to try to do some really good work on. And Cody's just been, I mean, if a year ago, I hated Cody Rhodes. I could not stand Cody Rhodes. And now I really, really like the guy. So he's definitely doing something right, you know, and that's awesome, you know. And I was just, you know, I was thrown off by this match and just the result, because I honestly thought Ray was going to win. I was very shocked that Cody got the win on this, because I've been feeling that in this entire angle, Cody has pretty much gotten the best of things this entire time. So it only makes sense, obviously, you know, come payback time, you know, Ray would get the win here. So I was very thrown off by it. So I started off the night not too hot on my predictions. You know, I was feeling pretty confident with all my predictions. And, you know, I had said Del Rio would win and then Edge won. And then I said, you know, Ray would win and then Cody won. So I was like, damn. So it didn't start off too hot. But, yeah, the match was great. I honestly loved – I loved Cody's entrance. You know, the way they had the stage set up this year, you know, with the flat screen basically, with just the gigantic, you know, logo or movie playing for the guys when they came out. I thought Cody's was awesome, you know, with the newspaper clippings and it's, you know, saying grotesque and, you know, mutilated, you know, and it's yeah. Very like old school horror movie style, you know, where, you know, I love the angle where it's going now with Cody, to where it's like, you know, nothing's wrong with him, but, you know, he's so about his looks that he feels he's so ugly right now, you know, that he has to wear, like, the mask and everything. So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing played out. I mean, it was great. The knee brace, Ray using the Cody's mask to headbutt him, and, you know, everything just really worked. It was cool to see Ray in the Captain America outfit as well. Mm. That was the other thing we were kind of all – that was an extra prediction on our league, was what costume would he come out as this year, since he's always some kind of superhero. I was thinking he'd be Green Lantern. I was unfortunately wrong that he was Captain America. But, you know, nonetheless, it was cool. Like I said, I liked the match a lot. It was definitely – you know, with Edge and Del Rio first and then this match second, you know, I was, you know, liking the pay-per-view very much at this point. And, you know, two solid matches to kick things off.
Yeah, also one thing we should mention is the Cody's delayed vertical superplex, which I've never seen anybody do.
Oh, that was awesome.
Do. Yeah, that was so awesome. Yeah, really, and, you know, you can't really do one to anyone much bigger than Mysterio, but that was pretty sweet. So, yeah, good stuff. I really thought they brought some different elements from their normal matches, you know. They incorporated a lot of their basic stuff too. But I thought, yeah, just really, really well done, really well executed match, and I was really impressed. So,
yeah, that suplex was just awesome. I mean, you know, to do it on what he was standing on the second rope, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to do it from that angle, and then he held him up just so long. I mean, obviously, yeah, Ray's not the biggest guy, but it looked great, and I was very impressed with that move. Yeah, that was an awesome moment right there.
Yeah. The next match was Kane and The Big Show and Santino and Kofi Kingston against The Core, Wade Barrett, Ezekiel Jackson, Justin Gabriel, and Heath Slater, and it did not last very long.
Yeah, this is where my anger started to come out on this pay-per-view. I was very, very upset with this match because, for one, I thought The Core should go over on it, and they didn't. And so now I was 0-3 on my predictions. You know, The Core is beginning such a push lately, and, you know, now Wade Barrett's the Intercontinental Champion. Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater are the Tag Team Champions. You know, Ezekiel always looks strong. So, I mean, you know, it didn't matter really what you put in front of them. They've just been knocking it down. And, you know, I was very excited when I had read on Saturday that Vladimir was taken out of this match. Because, first of all, let me take you back to the aspect of I hated the fact that Santino and Kozlov were the two guys that were added to this match. Because originally, you know, you had Kane and Big Show. The original plan according, you know, to the things I had read, was it was supposed to be Kofi and Christian. They were supposed to be the other two guys, which was still pretty cool. Didn't make much sense for Christian to be involved because he hasn't really had much interaction with Core, but it made sense with Kofi to a point, you know, especially once he lost the Intercontinental title. There was always the huge rumor that Diesel was going to be the fourth guy also, especially after the stare down with Big Show at the Royal Rumble. Wade Barrett was the one that eliminated Diesel in the Royal Rumble, so that made sense storyline-wise also. So when I had read on Saturday that Vladimir had been taken out, I was like, this is perfect, you know, perfect opportunity for Diesel to come out. We knew he was there. We knew he was in Atlanta. He was at the Hall of Fame, you know, so my fingers were crossed. Unfortunately, it was Kofi that came out, which is no big deal, too. I mean, I like Kofi also, and I think, you know, he was a good addition to the team. I still don't feel Santino should have been a part of it, but that is what it is. The worst part about this is just, how fast this match was. I honestly did not even know the bell had rung because it was just like the second it started, it was just like everybody was running all around and it was kicks and it was punches and it was this and it was that. And then all of a sudden, Big Show decks Heath Slater, 1, 2, 3, it's over. And I was just so blown away that they just totally, you know, shit all over this match. And I was very, very disappointed because, you know, I wanted them to get some time. It didn't have to be the longest match, but I was looking forward to this. I like the Core, you know, and I've been kind of digging seeing Big Show and Kane tag teaming again because I thought they made a great tag team years ago when they were the champions. And, you know, and then adding Kofi in there and everything, this could have been something really cool. And it's unfortunate that, you know, they just kind of squashed the match. Obviously, it was due to time constraints. You know, we had already lost Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. This pay-per-view did go the entire 4 hours, so they really didn't have another minute to spare. And this is the match that just kind of had to suffer from it. And it's just unfortunate, and I'm sure we'll probably see this match happen again on SmackDown this Friday since, you know, just like Bryan and you know, Sheamus on Monday, you know, and then they'll probably get their full time limit to go on it. But I was just upset at the squash this was, you know, especially figuring, you know, seeing that the way it's been going for the Core, I just didn't understand the point of, you know, crushing them that fast.
All right. Well, I liked it. I mean, you know, it was what it was. It was fine. It kind of reminded me of the Hart Foundation beating the Bolsheviks at WrestleMania 6. So, anyway. Next match was Randy Orton against CM Punk, which another match I really liked. I thought Punk really brought it as far as just kind of being, you know, innovative and, you know, just kind of doing some really interesting stuff. Like he was able to like counter the RKO with like kind of like a reverse, like, you know, bendy kick deal, which was just really awesome. And I really liked how they did the you know, kind of some of the mat work with, you know, like Punk locking in a leg lock and then sort of like punching at Orton's knee. Kind of the story of the entire match was basically Punk going after the injured knee of Orton and Orton, you know, stumbling around and, you know, and dealing with that injury. And so just a lot of cool stuff that they did. I thought Orton really brought it as well, like, you know, brought some, you know, intensity, particularly early in the match, sold the knee really well, you know, consistently throughout. But basically, you know, after the first minute when he was kind of re-injured, and I thought the finish was really cool with, you know, Punk avoiding the first RKO, but, you know, kind of getting cocky going off the top. And then, you know, I thought the second one really looked good. I know some people really thought like it was a little too predictable, which is fine, but I don't know. Visually it was cool. And I thought it was, you know, a good bookend to the match. And I thought the match made both guys look good because Punk looked tough and looked like he belonged with Orton, and Orton, you know, was able to pull out the win in the end and they both had a good match. So I was a big fan.
I like this match as well. I was one of the, you know, there was a lot of people that were not looking forward to this match. And, you know, I was one of the few people that really was looking forward to it because I felt that Punk could bring something fresh and unique to Randy Orton, who has become very, very stale in the last several months. And, I felt that Punk could definitely bring something out of them and they could have a very good match. And that's exactly what happened. It was a great match. I mean, you know, this definitely brought it back for me. you know, and not much can be said about it. I loved the ending. I loved, you know, CM Punk springboarding off the top rope and then getting caught into the RKO. I had predicted Randy Orton would go over on this one, so finally my luck turned around in the predictions here. And, you know, it was nice to see. I mean, I really wanted CM Punk to win, but I couldn't fathom him winning after the fact that Orton has just taken out the entire Nexus, you know, on his own week by week. So it just made sense for him to basically put that final nail in the coffin against Punk. So, yeah, I mean, a great match and you know, it definitely was what I was hoping to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really thought, you know, three of the first four matches I thought were really good, you know, and so, yeah, when people have kind of been talking about, well, it wasn't really a very good wrestling show, I'm like, well, you know, three of the four first matches were awesome. And then, of course, we'll talk about the second half of the show. But I was not on Twitter or the internet at all while this was on. So I was just kind of watching it with friends. And we were all just really, like, enjoying the show. And, you know, I mean, by the end, I still felt that same way. So it was strange to see the reaction from a lot of people being like it was lackluster, or was like an episode of Raw, or wasn't, you know, wasn't very good. I'm just like, you know, I don't know, what show were you watching? But you know, obviously, you know, everybody has different opinions. I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm necessarily right, but I'm just was just sort of baffled by, you know, kind of how all that sort of, you know, was down. The one other thing about Punk is I just thought, like, a lot of, like, his mannerisms, like, you know, you know, the way he, you know, the his go to sleep motion, I just, and just like how, like, certain he was that was going to be the end, and his other gesturing, you know, kind of mocking Orton for the knee injury and just stuff like that. He's just really good at, you know, being very expressive, and his mannerisms and everything. He's just really becoming, you know, he's always been pretty good, but I just think he's becoming even more, like, you know, a complete package. It's just in everything he does. So, so good stuff. The next match, I think we're going to have pretty strong different opinions about, was Michael Cole against Jerry Lawler. So I've been starting with all these. Why don't you go ahead and give your opinion first, and then I will counter it.
My opinion is that this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I hated this. I hated this with such a passion I can't even begin to explain it. And the best way I can sum it up is on our Future Endeavors post show on Sunday night after Mania, we took some phone calls, and one of my callers, I believe he goes by the name Frank Miller 187 on Twitter. We were talking about it, and he said that he felt that if there was a Hall of Fame for shitty matches, this would be the first inductee into the Hall of Fame. And I that's the best way to sum this up. This was such a cluster of a match, and the thing that I think I'm looking at with it is, you know, this was so important for Jerry the King Lawler to get his WrestleMania moment. He wanted a moment so bad, and he never got to wrestle at a Mania before. Well, I'm sorry, but if I was Jerry the King Lawler, I'd rather have no moment than what that turned out to be. Because, you know, yeah, he got his moment now, but it's always going to relate back to the, you know, cluster that was him and Michael Cole at WrestleMania 27. You know, it was just very unbelievable to me. Every time that Michael Cole was, you know, on offense, it was just a joke. I mean, he was horrible. And it's like, this is the guy, Jerry Lawler, a month ago at the last pay-per-view, was main eventing for the championship and taking Miz to the limit to win a title. But here he is having trouble with Michael Cole at WrestleMania. I mean, it was just very unbelievable. I could not get into the story. I didn't think it was fun. I thought it was boring. Everybody I was watching with it thought it was boring. I mean, you know, I was watching with a couple people, too, that aren't anywhere near being pretty big fans of it. They kind of were just watching because it was WrestleMania, and we all kind of just had a big get-together. And they were loving this pay-per-view all the way through. And then this match came on and totally lost their interest in 2 seconds. And they started kind of walking away and doing other stuff. And I hated that because I was really trying to sell these people on, you know, this is WrestleMania. You got to see this pay-per-view. It's going to be so awesome. And they're just like, what is this? Like, why are we even watching this? And, I mean, it just played off just so bad. And then the ending I just thought was stupid with the computer and Austin abuses authority and now Michael Cole is the winner and just it was just everything about it was just horrible. You know, and then, you know, Austin, you know, of course, you know, stunning Josh Matthews and then stunning Booker T for no reason. I mean, it didn't make any sense. None of it made sense to me. I just expected, you know, I didn't mind this match on paper, you know, so it wasn't like I was already going into this with a negative outlook. I figured they'd give this match like 5 minutes, Jerry Lawler get his moment, end with a nice celebration with Austin drinking a beer. Well, this match felt like it went on for like an hour. It was so dragged out. They gave it way too much time. I mean, literally, I think this match did go like 15, 20 minutes, and that was way too much time for this. It was just wasted. It took too long to get started, you know, with Michael Cole hiding out in the coal mine and, you know, having to get pulled out by Lawler. And, you know, once again, this is, you know, all this time's wasted when the core got 30 seconds earlier in the night and the U.S. title match was bumped. You know, it just wasn't needed. Too many people lost a payday that night for this kind of, you know, stuff to go down. So I am hugely against this match. I never want to see it again the rest of my life. And yeah, that's about that.
Well, I thought it was tremendous fun. I thought the beginning with Cole begging for his life and Lawler dragging him out of the coal mine was great. The first few minutes I thought were a lot of fun. I do agree that it dragged when Cole was on offense. They probably spent about 90 seconds, 2 minutes too long on that. I don't think it was quite as unbelievable because Swagger at least took him out and locked him in the ankle lock. So it does sort of make sense that Cole would be able to take advantage of that at least for a while. I think Cole got lost at some point or maybe, you know, just was trying the Swagger bomb and then decided he couldn't do it or something. There was definitely, a little bit of awkwardness there and they did lose the crowd for a little bit, but by the end, after Austin, you know, gave Swagger the stunner when Swagger tried to throw the towel in, which I thought was great, and then, you know, Lawler beating up Cole with a bunch of fist drops and then locking in the ankle lock and then Austin not, you know, reluctantly ringing the bell. I thought that was all really fun. I got Jerry Lawler embarrassing Michael Cole, you know, and I thought, you know, that moment was really cool. I thought that Austin stunning Booker T was really funny, especially the spit take that Booker T had. And I always, I kind of thought it made sense because it was kind of like Booker, like being a dork and worming his way into that moment. So I didn't have a problem with that. And I also, I enjoyed Josh Matthews getting beat up because I don't like Josh Matthews particularly. So that was fun. And I agree. Like maybe it went 2 minutes too long, but it was 13:45. It wasn't like it was an eternity or anything. I don't know if the core could have gotten 2 minutes maybe, but I don't know. I don't think it was like a huge waste of time management or anything. And I think that I thought Cole was great. I mean, I thought that orange singlet was awesome. The headgear, like,
yeah, I mean, that
the
was
promo
funny.
The promo he cut. It was Lawler getting a chance to have a fun WrestleMania match. And, I enjoyed it. I really did. I didn't enjoy it. I was into this, so I certainly wanted to enjoy it, but it wasn't like first of all, the idea that this is the worst thing ever at WrestleMania with Bret and Vince last year being what it was. I mean, that was a 100 times bigger disaster than this was, you know?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I'd much rather watch Bret and Vince go at it again. We discussed this in great depth on the show this week because that's exactly what we were kind of comparing it to. Was like, okay, this reminds me totally of Bret and Vince, you know, because it was just such a cluster. But in the end result of it, I can tolerate it of the two people being Bret and Vince rather than Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole. I'd much rather watch Bret and Vince, you know, bash each other than ever, you know, having to sit through Lawler and Cole ever again.
Well. Huh. All right. Fair enough. Next we have, I think we're both going to be more in agreement about this match. It would be Undertaker and Triple H in a no holds barred match. And wow, this was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, awesome doesn't even begin to describe what this was. Yeah. This was on a whole nother level. And this to me is what WrestleMania is all about. And that's, what was awesome about Triple H and Taker.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I think WrestleMania is about a lot of things. So I don't think WrestleMania is about like one, you know, great match. Although it was a tremendous match, it was one of the best ones in, in WrestleMania history. I mean, it probably, you know, I could see it being top 10, top 15 for sure. I mean, it's just really, really well done. Told a really great story. I mean, Triple H basically throwing everything he had at Undertaker and almost, you know, getting that win, but, getting caught in the Hell's Gate, you know, while he had the sledgehammer in hand, but, you know, dropping the sledgehammer, getting it back, but not being able to use it before he, you know, basically, you know, before he meekly tapped out after being in that move for a long time. I mean, just, you know, just tremendous stuff. And you know, kind of when I was in the middle of the match, I was kind of thinking, you know, well, okay, this is a fun match and we're into it, but it was definitely kind of like feeling like the Undertaker formula match almost, the kind of mirroring the ones with Shawn a lot, with a lot doing, you know, obviously kicking out of the big moves and, you know, laying around and then getting up and then another guy hitting the big move and all that. But they just took it to another level. I mean, the reaction after Triple H hit that tombstone and then Undertaker kicked out of it was just like amazing. I mean, that's one of the great crowd reactions of all time. And, and they really put, you know, it was a lot of intensity, just a lot of, you know, Triple H's facial expressions, you know, his disbelief and, you know, screaming at Undertaker to stay down and just a lot of really cool moments and, you know, an excellent match. And I was not like one of these people. I was, you know, when they first announced it, I wasn't that excited about it. They did a nice job with, particularly the last segment, you know, building it up with Shawn being in there and then playing off of, you know, Shawn not really believing in Triple H and all that. I thought that was a really good way to build it. And you know, and then it ended up, you know, like I said, it's certainly the match the show will be remembered for and was, you know, clearly the best match on the show, no question. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I like so much about this, and I have to go on the record and say that this definitely topped the WrestleMania 17 match. This match, this is what I was looking most forward to, period, out of the entire card. And once again, WWE made the horrible mistake of not putting this match on last. You know, we had said, you know, we had thought they learned their lesson after WrestleMania 25 with Shawn and Taker. You know, last year at WrestleMania, they did put it on last. And, you know, the original idea was that this was supposed to be last of the night as well. And then all of a sudden it came on, you know, third to last. And, you know, it just once again, I mean, just a horrible mistake, because how do you top this? And it didn't get topped. You know, everything just worked with this match. I love the entrances. I mean, Triple H coming out to Metallica was just so awesome. I'm a huge Metallica fan. I was guessing he'd come out to For Whom the Bell Tolls, and that's exactly what he came out to. I wish he would have made the whole entrance to that song, because it was such a cool moment to see him come out to that. Undertaker's entrance, of course, always awesome. I mean, you could just see that these two guys were going to bring it. And the second the bell rang, I mean, they just unloaded, and it was just fast, and it was furious, and they didn't waste any time heading to the outside. You know, Triple H, you know, that back body drop that Undertaker gave Triple H off the table was, oh my god, that had me hurting at home just watching it on TV. I mean, that looked like it hurt so bad, and Triple H was clinching his wrist after that. And if you did watch the replay back, I mean, he did land like right on his hand, so yeah. I mean, you know, he took a bad bump there. And then the spine buster that he gave Undertaker through the Spanish announce table was just amazing. You know, going into the coal mine and breaking that. I mean, there were so many spots in this match and all the false finishes. Like I've said before, I mean, the thing about a great match, and this is what was so great about Shawn and Taker, was, you know, it's WrestleMania. Undertaker's, of course, you know, 18-0. He's undefeated the whole nine. And you know, pretty much without a shadow of a doubt, that Undertaker's going to win every match at WrestleMania. I mean, I find it highly doubtable that you know, anyone's going to break this streak. You know, and there's a lot of WrestleManias that have happened where we're just like, there's no way in hell. And on this one, you know, it was clear, and my prediction was Undertaker would win. you know, in the back of your mind, you know, you I guess you never really know. But the thing about an awesome match is when that believability changes, and all of a sudden, you know, the match is so good, it literally has you on the edge of the seat, and a move happens, and you're like, oh my God, I think he actually did it. You know, like there was a couple moments in that match where I truly believed Triple H was going to win. And the main one being what you said earlier, the tombstone. When he tombstone Taker, I literally was like, that's it. He just broke the streak. It's done. You know, when Taker kicked out, I was like, man, they got me again. You know, like, I mean, and that just, that to, you know, suck you in that much to a match is just goes to show how good these two are. And they told such a great story. And, you know, and all the false finishes, the pedigrees, the kickouts, the chokeslam, the kickout, the last ride kickout, you know, tombstone kickout, you know, more pedigrees kickout. It's like, oh my God. Like, you know, these guys just took each other to hell and back, you know. And then the whole ending was just great with the Hell's Gate. You know, I thought Triple H was going to pick him up and slam him while he was locked in it, because it looked like he was trying to get his footing, and, you know, and he couldn't do it. And then he, you know, picked up the sledgehammer and he dropped it, and, you know, the whole nine before finally tapping out. I wish they would have ended it with Triple H kind of just passing out in the move and not really having to tap. I think that would have been pretty cool, you know, for him to be like, you know, like he never gave up. You know, and you know, I think that should have been the official ending to the match. But nonetheless, I mean, it's not going to take anything away from it. That match just blew me away, hands down. Match of the year so far, and probably will be match of the year, you know, come the end of the year.
Yeah. And then our little buffer match before the main event was Snooki and Trish Stratus and John Morrison against Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool with Vicky Guerrero, and this also pretty short, but I think that's probably for the best here. and you know, Snooki, you know, pulled off a nice little deal. What do you call that? Handspring things. Apparently, she was a cheerleader before, so she people were kind of on her, but when she did that, they were almost kind of impressed, and that basically. Yeah. Led to the finish. She did a little splash, and she pinned Michelle. So not really much to the match. It was fine. You know, nothing terrible about it or anything. And, you know, it was just a kind of a nice little quick thing to, you know, to as a buffer to the other main event. So I have no complaints.
Yeah, I don't really either. You know, it was a perfect buffer in between Triple H and Undertaker and Miz and Cena, for sure. This is another one I wish would have gotten a little bit more time, though, mainly for the behalf of John Morrison and Dolph Ziggler, because I was really looking forward to what these two could do at WrestleMania, and they kind of, you know, were almost getting screwed out of their moment and luckily got in this match, you know, and I thought that, you know, thinking before this went on, you know, I figured that they'd be the main two guys in here kind of carrying the whole thing, and then Trish would get her little moment, and then, of course, Snooki would get her moment. I knew Snooki would get the pin and get the win. Of course, you know, they're not going to let the celebrity lose. But, you know, it played out to be exactly what it was, which was just kind of quick fun. I love John Morrison's Starship Pain from the top rope to the floor on top of Dolph Ziggler. I thought that was awesome. You know, and, you know, yeah, Snooki impressed, man. You know, there was a couple people at the house I was watching it at that just hate Snooki and hate Jersey Shore and hate anything associated with it. So when the match started, they were going to actually even leave the room. And when she did that move, they were even like, wow, like that was actually pretty impressive. So, you know, she definitely won people over that night. You know, it was a cool little moment. You know, what I respect about her already is that she's, you know, seems to be a pretty legit fan. And she's even said, you know, if they offered her, you know, a contract to join, she would love to do it in a heartbeat. So I think that's pretty cool on her behalf. So, yeah, I mean, no complaints here. I wish it just would have been given maybe another couple minutes to, like I said, to mainly give Morrison and Ziggler some more time. But, you know, it is what it is, and it did its job pretty perfectly. So good buffer.
All right. And then the final match being The Miz against John Cena for the WWE Championship. And I think there were a lot of varying opinions about, well, I, actually, I guess most of the opinions were that were not very favorable on the match. I agree it had some problems, but I actually think there were some good points that were overlooked as well. Particularly, there was a pretty cool moment where Miz kicked out of the FU, and which I think was a surprise to most of the crowd. Cena definitely did seem a little lethargic, and I don't know if he was just sort of selling being disoriented or if he was actually disoriented. There was definitely an awkward kind of where he tried a shoulder block that Miz ducked, but that was kind of poorly timed. And then of course, the big thing being that they, battled to the outside and to a double count out, which of course is not a way you would normally end WrestleMania. And in fact, the Rock came out and he decided to continue the match, and but immediately hit John Cena with the Rock Bottom, and then Miz got the cover for the win. So that was I think a lot of people were kind of expecting something like that to happen and Miz to walk out as champion, but the way it went down was interesting. I don't know if I guess that was sort of the double count. It was the excuse to get Rock out there, but definitely took the edge out of the crowd.
Now, I know you predicted Cena would win, right? You thought Cena was going to win?
Well, in the end, I did think that Cena would win, although Miz winning did not surprise me. I mean, I was going kind of back and forth, but I ended up picking Cena in the end more just because I thought it was, at that point, almost the upset pick as opposed to the favorite pick. But, it was kind of flip a coin for me.
Yeah, I mean, this match kind of played out exactly like I thought it would. I've kind of stated for the record before, I 2 months ago I said, Cena's going to, get in the main event. Cena's going to take the belt from Miz, and it's Cena. And I was pretty much thinking Cena would win all the way up to about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And then I started seeing Miz's momentum shift. So then I started kind of doubting it. And then once Cena gave Rock the attitude adjustment on Raw last week, I was like, that's it. Miz is definitely going to retain, because it was pretty obvious at that point that Rock was going to cost him the title. Even though in the back of my mind, I still thought maybe Cena would win and then Rock would kind of punk him out, while he was celebrating, and that's how Mania would end.
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
Yeah. So, but I still kind of felt like it would be more of a punk, to cost him the title. And, luckily that is what happened. And, but you know what? I liked this match. I didn't have a problem with this match. I thought it was, I thought Miz, the first thing I want to say about this match is I loved the video packages. Instead of doing the typical, promo package where they just show, the highlights and what led up to this match, they showed two individual promos. The one from Miz I just thought was outstanding. I love the Miz's one where he's sitting, he's watching the monitors and it's flashing, like WrestleMania 1 with Hogan, and then it's, showing him on the Real World. And it's kind of like going through the order of WrestleManias, but then also going through the order of Miz's career from, the Real World to, trying out for Tough Enough to becoming the host of SmackDown, and kind of the transition and becoming tag team champion and United States champion all the way up to winning Money in the Bank and then becoming the champ. And, and then it's playing the Nas song, Hate Me Now, it just was a classic song to kind of match with his attitude. You can hate me now, but I won't stop now. The whole thing just worked. I honestly think that should be his new, theme song to come out to the ring to. But I loved it, and then Cena's package, a little bit different. He had the church choir kind of sing in, and they did his package, which was actually done to DMX's Prayer. And, but I thought that little package worked, very well for Cena as well. So the intros were great, and it actually really got me pumped for the match more than I was already. And really, after seeing that promo package from Miz, that was the first time that I think I've officially thought in my head, Miz is a main eventer, and he's really arrived. You know, that package just kind of sold it for me. So that just shows you how good that promo package was. So, you know, that really kind of felt like he took that next step into the being, you know, a main eventer. And, you know, the match was decent. You know, I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't the worst. And it was exactly what I expected. I don't think Miz and Cena have the best chemistry together, but I thought they had a decent match. You know, when it hit the double count out thing, you know, I could definitely feel the heat in the arena and how mad people were getting. And I was thinking in my head, this has to obviously be overruled because, you know, they're about to have a riot on their hands. It was, you know, definitely not going to end a WrestleMania on a double count out. And I do have to say to that attitude adjustment you hinted on earlier, when he hit that on Miz, I thought the match was over, hands down. You know, I don't feel Miz has really joined that kick out of the finisher club yet. But, I guess he did Sunday night. You know, so that definitely threw me for a loop because that was a great attitude adjustment too. He jumped in the air and he hit some height on that. And, you know, I don't see how Miz kicked out of it, but, you know, that's pretty huge for him to get to do that. And the double count out, then The Rock comes out, says no. You know, I liked that The Rock came out and that the laptop beeped. You know, and he went to read what the GM said, and then it doesn't matter what you said, and throws the laptop down and basically makes his own rules and says, you know, the match will be restarted, no DQ, no count out, you know, which obviously made sense so he could be involved into the match. And like you said, you know, rock bottom, boom, Miz comes over, makes the three, and retains the title. And then I just thought it was cool, you know, to see Rock go back in the ring, you know, give the Miz the spine buster, hit the people's elbow, and now Cena and, you know, Miz are knocked out to The Rock, and The Rock gets to stand tall to end, you know, what was billed as the most electrifying WrestleMania of all time, which it definitely wasn't, but, you know, a good ending to the show there with that, because I was definitely hoping that was how it would end, and it was exactly what I pictured.
Yeah. Well, you know, I still thought it was a solid match. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was pretty well done for the most part, other than, you know, a little bit of awkwardness here and there. And you're right. I thought the Rock was pretty well storytelling. I think, like, I kind of expected a little bit more. Like, I mean, what you mean, we both kind of figured where they were going. I mean, whether it would be, you know, Rock costing Cena the title or Rock attacking him afterward or whatever. But with Rock had already sort of done on Raw and how physically he had gotten and, you know, kind of how he's been, you know, pretty, you know, involved in WWE in the last few weeks. I did kind of expect a little bit, I don't know, something a little bit more original or whatever. So I was slightly disappointed in that, but overall, you know, I thought it was presented pretty well. You know, like I said, capped off a good show. I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, there were at least, you know, four or five really good matches. I know we disagree strongly on Cole and Lawler, but, you know, everything else, you know, we were pretty much in agreement on. So I don't know. With that much good wrestling, it's hard for me to really, you know, say too many bad things about this WrestleMania.
Okay, so here was my kind of, like, official take overall of it. Okay. And this is why I kind of don't seem to be too high on this. And that's purely for the fact of, and this is what I tried to make very apparent on the Future Endeavor show Sunday when we did it after Mania, was not that it was a bad WrestleMania. There was very good matches here. I mean, you know, like we said, Edge Del Rio was awesome. Cody and Ray was great. You know, Punk and Orton was great. Triple H and, you know, Undertaker on a whole nother level. Miz and Cena was good. So like you said, five good matches here. To me, what it was is, it's WrestleMania, and WrestleMania is just, it's on a whole nother level. And honestly, like, the matches, I get a different vibe on these guys at WrestleMania. Like, they try harder. They really bust their butt to do an amazing match, something unlike anything you've seen before. This WrestleMania was good, and they all put on good matches, but it didn't feel WrestleMania quality to me. And that's why I kind of, you know, am offset from it. I've never, you know, said, like, this WrestleMania sucked or it was one of the absolute worst of all time. No, because it wasn't. But it wasn't great. It wasn't awesome. It was just okay to me because I felt the matches were all very, like you said, they were good. The only excellent one was Triple H and Taker. I feel that being WrestleMania, there should have been some classics on this card, like multiple matches. And I just don't feel I got that out of this lineup. You know, I was expecting a lot more. Even though Cody and Ray had a great match, I expected more out of them. You know, Alberto and Edge, great match. I expected more out of them. You know, I expected to really just give everything they had in themselves and tear the house down for it to be an amazing WrestleMania. These matches were good on the quality of this being an over-the-limit pay-per-view, you know, or, you know, any other pay-per-view of the year, you know, and, you know, it wasn't WrestleMania for the match quality. So that's kind of where I kind of stand on it. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't that anything was bad. This was not a bad WrestleMania. It wasn't like bad matches the entire night. Nobody messed up. It was just the fact of there wasn't anything extremely exciting or, you know, awesome about it other than Triple H and Taker. So that's kind of, you know, where I stood on the you know, level of how I felt about WrestleMania 27.
Well, I thought like I said, I thought all those matches were, for me, WrestleMania level. I don't think they were any better or any worse than the good matches that usually get at WrestleMania. I guess it feels more a little bit like some of the earlier WrestleManias, especially when you consider, you know, a lot of the how many out of the ring segments they did, which I guess we should talk a little more about some of the stuff Rock did besides, you know, the opening and the beginning. There was the skit with Mae Young and Eve, which I thought was pretty funny, and then really cool moment with him and Austin, you know, having some words and you know, a little bit of a, you know, I don't know if you call it a stare down, but definitely like a, you know, intense moment between the two of them. And obviously, you know, with their three WrestleMania matches and their great rivalry, that was kind of a neat moment, I thought. And a good use of Rock. And I don't think that overstayed its welcome either. The other one with Pee Wee Herman, I wasn't as huge of a fan of. I mean, it was sort of, I don't know. I guess it was cute enough, but that one was more that one I could have put on the cutting room floor, and I wouldn't have had a problem with anything. And I guess the only other major non-wrestling segment was the Snoop Dogg judging the dance contest.
Waste of time.
Well, yeah, I agree.
I did although get a huge laugh out of Zack Ryder. But other than that, that was about the end of it. The Zack Ryder part with Piper smashing the coconut on his head was awesome.
Yeah, Regal was funny though. I liked Regal, yeah. And I thought that although he was basically just recycling the rap he did before, and Kali and Beth Phoenix made me smile a little bit. So more Beth.
But
Phoenix
once again,
than Kali,
when things have been bumped off the card. You know, I'd rather not have backstage skits and rather would have got a 5-minute, you know, match thrown in there to fulfill the card. I mean, I want to know, I mean, how do you feel about the United States title match getting taken off with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan? Because, like I said, I for one was extremely upset that they took this match off the card, because this is a match that I feel at a WrestleMania type level had all the possibility in the world to honestly steal the show. You know, outside Triple H and Taker, I think these two would have brought the house down. And I know I wasn't the only one on Sunday that was extremely pissed off that this match was scrapped. So, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, what did you think about that match getting, you know, bumped?
Well, I was disappointed, but I kind of understand with the time issues. I mean, even if they had cut a couple of the comedy things, you still weren't going to have much time for it. So, you know, that's just that's life. I mean, I was, you know, I didn't know until. I wasn't on the internet, so I didn't realize for sure until after the, you know, the Snooki match that it had definitely been cut. I mean, by then I realized, okay, they don't have enough time for it, clearly. But, you know, so, you know, I didn't know ahead of time or anything. I it would have been cool to have Daniel Bryan and Sheamus have a really good match on the show. But, you know, I don't really know what you cut. That you know that much, because, you know, like I said, a couple of the comedy sketches, but, you know, those were each only a couple minutes. Even if you cut 2 minutes out of Cole and Lawler, you know, maybe you could have cut, you know, Taker and Triple H went 30 minutes, which was a great match. Maybe you could have cut 2 minutes out of it and it would still been a great match. But, you know, and maybe stuff just kind of ran long in general anyway. I mean, you know, even on a well-timed show, sometimes that sort of happens. So,
no, it's true. I mean, like I said, this pay-per-view literally it ended with about 30 seconds to go to the hour started. You know, so I mean, they really did utilize every second they had. So, I mean, you know,
yeah,
that always shocks me when they can go to the wire like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard. I mean, none of the other matches went, you know, particularly long. I mean, I know you think, and I know, you know, Colin Lawler went too long for you, but it was a, you know, 13-minute match. I mean, that's, you know, in the scheme of things, that is not, you know, a terribly long match. I mean, Punk and Orton went 14 minutes, almost 15. So, and Miz Cena went 15. So it's like, you know, it wasn't like they, you know, I just think that, you know, they had a lot to cram in, and unfortunately they couldn't fit, you know, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, and that's kind of where they are on the priority list, and that's, you know, that's what it is. I'm not at arms or angry or feel like I was, you know, cheated out of something because it wasn't on there. But yeah, if they would have, you know, had room for it, and they would have, you know, and they could have had a good match, that would have helped the show, and, you know, would have been great. But, and, you know, it's okay. I'm not angry at WWE about it or anything.
It really trips me out, the fact that, I mean, an 8-match card is pretty typical of a 3-hour pay-per-view, you know, and they had 4 hours and basically had an 8-match card. So
yeah,
it just kind of trips me out how crammed they were for a typical amount of matches. You know, the whole point of WrestleMania is you got that extra hour, you usually get 9 or 10 matches, you know, off the card. So it was kind of odd that they couldn't even handle the 9 that was, you know, scheduled.
Yeah. Well, Rock did a 20-minute promo too. So you got to consider that. You know, I don't know. The rest of the time, I mean, yeah, they did a couple of the comedy things, although that's pretty normal. I don't think they had, like, an excessive amount of that compared to most WrestleManias. It was just that, you know, Rock was part of most of them, other than the Snoop Dogg one. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, it was what it was. So, I guess you probably should talk about the big news for the next WrestleMania while we're at it, because that was that was pretty big deal.
Yeah, pretty gigantic. I don't think we've ever had a match announced a year before it actually happens. But you know, I'm excited, but at the same time, I wish this would have went down at SummerSlam. You know, I really seemed like that's where they were going with it. It was, you know, a match at SummerSlam, and that would have just been awesome. But you know, I guess, you know, it is such a big match, they have to kind of hold it off, so we're going to have to hold it off for an entire year, but we will finally get John Cena versus The Rock, so very excited about it, you know, especially once we kept thinking we weren't going to ever, you know, see The Rock in a match again. So I had heard weeks ago that he was kind of starting to get the itch again, and he was kind of becoming open to the suggestion of it, and I know Cena wants it more than anything else in this world. He's been pretty vocal about how bad he wants this match, and it's pretty awesome that we're going to get it. So, I mean, it sucks we got to wait a year, and, you know, I'm very curious to see how they're going to hold everybody's attention to kind of stretch a feud out for an entire year. You know, I'll be very curious to see, you know, how many times we see Rock in the next 12 months and how, you know, much they try to keep this in our minds that this is going to happen. But yeah, I mean, very exciting, you know, moment to, hear that officially announced at the end of Raw last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be surprised if Rock's on, if he is around much. I mean, you know, I could see him maybe making a couple of appearances in the next year and then, you know, being on TV a little more, you know, obviously, you know, in the month or two before WrestleMania. I mean, who knows, you know, having, you know, he's exceeded my expectations as far as how much we'd see him and what he'll do by far, especially, you know, the idea that he'll do a match. So, you know, I kind of like the idea of announcing a year in advance. I mean, it creates some, you know, some challenges in some respects. But I don't think, I mean, I think people are going to be, they're going to be really excited about when it gets there next year, and you don't have to do a whole lot to build it. I mean, you know, it's two stars that people have never seen. It's Rock's first match in what will be 8 years. So, you know, it pretty much sells itself. Probably the less they do, the better, honestly, for that.
Yeah.
You know, just let them do some promos and, you know, show some, you know, hype videos, and that's, you know, and that's what it needs. So, I do think, I don't know, I thought the segment of Raw was a little weird just because, I don't know, like it just seemed kind of out of nowhere that they were friends and Cena didn't seem particularly mad that Rock had cost him the title and, you know, kind of some stuff about that. Like, I guess the idea is that they want people to not, like, be chanting, like, you know, like if Rock leaves and they didn't announce it, or if they, you know, kind of hadn't come to a little bit of, you know, of a, okay, we'll fight next year, but we respect each other fine now or whatever, then I think people would like get on Cena a lot about, you know, Rock is better than you or taunting him or whatever. And they, obviously they want, you know, Cena's the center of their company and is the guy who's going to be around. So you kind of have to be, you know, understanding of that. But I did think it was sort of like out of nowhere that, like, you know, that they were kind of, okay, yeah, now we're cool with each other pretty much. But still, you know, I think, you know, in a year that will pretty much be forgotten anyway. And I think they'll be, you know, there's a good chance they'll hype it fine and it should be good.
Yeah, no, it'll be great. And, you know, obviously I think the end result will be, you know, Cena getting the win and the torch kind of being passed, you know, so I think it'll make for a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the other thing is that there was certainly hinted, you know, whether it'll happen at WrestleMania or whether it might, you know, they might do before or whatever, that they're going to do another Triple H Undertaker match. So we might have, you know, two set up for WrestleMania next year.
Were you talking about Triple H and Taker again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that rumor come out earlier today, you know, because of the positive response.
I was just thinking from the promo that Triple H did that. I mean, I think he pretty heavily hinted toward.
Well, he heavily hinted at it, but I don't assume that that's automatically WrestleMania next year.
No. I don't assume that either. But that was the hint that I took. I mean, I was thinking, oh, okay, they're going to do it again at WrestleMania next year. When I heard that, and I mean, you know, that's certainly no guarantee. But I just, you know, that was certainly what I got out of that.
I didn't take away WrestleMania out of that, like, at all. I just, you know, took from it, you know, whenever you're healthy and you're back, let's do this. And to me, once again, my assumption is SummerSlam. You know, I can see this being a huge SummerSlam match because that gives Undertaker, you know, several months off to kind of rest up, you know, make sure his shoulder's, you know, perfectly healed and then come back, you know, strong, you know, for that match. I don't want this being at WrestleMania next year. You know, as awesome as this match was, I loved it to death. I don't want to see it again next year. I'm kind of over the whole, like, you know, we already saw Shawn 2 years in a row. Now we got to see Triple H 2 years in a row. I mean, you know, it kind of made sense with Shawn, but it's like at the same time, you know, Triple H has already had two shots also at WrestleMania. So I don't want this to become like a Kane thing. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's Triple H Taker, you know, and he's obsessed with the streak, you know. I would love to see this match again, and I think that it would have a great place at, like, a SummerSlam, one of the big other pay-per-views. You know, I don't see waiting a whole year, you know, to do this again. So, I mean, you know, I like the hint of it. I thought it was a cool promo to be like, hey, whenever you're back, I'll be waiting for you. You know, but I think we'll get that sooner than later.
Yeah, I guess it depends on Undertaker's health too. That's obviously going to be a big thing. So we'll see. Yeah, yeah. You certainly could be right. I mean, you know, they certainly didn't write it down, but my, you know, immediately when he said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, they'll probably do it again at WrestleMania. Yeah.
The rumor came out earlier today. I mean, it did. I mean, that is floating around. I mean, I did read earlier today that because of the response to that match, you know, that WWE is heavily looking at running that match again at Mania, you know, for 28. So yeah. Obviously they're going to try to, I think they're going to try to stack that 28 card as big as they possibly can, you know, especially since they've already locked, you know, Rock and Cena. So I wouldn't doubt it, but, you know, I don't want it. And I know there's a lot of other people that, you know, don't want to wait, you know, a year for that as well. Yeah. And kind of want Undertaker to, you know, to do something else.
Yeah.
Which I thought would be Cena. Honestly, I thought it'd be Undertaker Cena this year.
That was my thought too. But
so
yeah.
Now that's obviously out the water. So
yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. Well, we have some questions here that we can take regarding WWE. We've addressed a couple of these things, but first of all, on Facebook at WrestleSpective.com/Facebook, Brian, Mr. Terrific McLean asks us a few questions. First being, why should I have faith that WWE can stretch the Rock Cena feud and make it interesting? So what do you think about that? Why should he have faith?
He should have faith just because the fact that The Rock has agreed to wrestle is pretty monumental. And, you know, this is something where, you know, we've talked in depth about this before too. You know, this is something that Rock was pretty adamant that he would never come back. And, you know, now he's back and now this match is confirmed. You know, The Rock doesn't half-ass anything. Let's just say that. So, you know, I think that, you know, the faith should be there. I think the match is going to be awesome. And, you know, I think we should just be, you know, very glad as fans that Rock is willing, you know, to probably get a lot of criticism in the Hollywood world, you know, to step back in the ring, you know, to give us that, you know, probably, you know, definite final match, you know, of his career. So I really appreciate the fact that he's stepping up to the plate when, you know, it's definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, you know, we, you know, they don't have to do much because they've already, you know, again, it pretty much sells itself. And they've obviously, you know, there's a backstory now with, you know, what kind of what they did, you know, over the past few weeks. And, you know, they can, you know, show people some of that to remind them or whatever. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they're going to be on TV every week and, you know, yelling at each other and, you know, oh, but we're not going to wrestle for a year. I mean, it's not going to be like that, obviously. So I don't really see any issues with that because they don't, you know, they don't have to face it. They can basically ignore it or they can for, you know, 9 months or they can, you know, bring it up occasionally that, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, Cena has this, you know, he's doing what he's doing now, but he's got this big, you know, big match looming and how does it affect him or, you know, there's ways you can kind of play it into, you know, what Cena's up to these days, too. So the other big question he asks is, why can't The Miz win clean ever? Why can't he? Why can't The Miz? Is he just not good enough? Is he, you know?
I think it just goes with his gimmick. You know, I think he just has that brash, cocky, I think I'm better than I really am kind of thing going for him. And, you know, it just kind of works for a gimmick like that to where, you know, you have a hard time kind of getting a win legit. You know, you have to kind of do those tactics. I mean, it's very old school, you know, that the heel has to cheat, you know. But, you know, I think it just works with Miz. Like I said, you know, I think he's got the perfect attitude for, you know, I'm the Miz. I'm awesome. I'm the best. I'm the must-see, you know, champion of all time. You know, this, and that. So, you know, then he gets in the ring and pretty much, you know, gets his butt beat, you know. And then so, you know, it's just pretty funny. So, I mean, you know, that's probably why, you know, it just works for his gimmick.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, he's a heel and heels cheat and lie and all that. So, and the other thing is that, you know, one thing that people kind of forget is that The Rock, when he, basically his first year as a main event kind of level guy, like he never won clean as a heel. Like he, you know, maybe he won like one or two matches over like that year and a half when he was like the, you know, the big heel, but, you know, he always cheated to win and he always, you know, and, you know, always did that all the time. And a lot of major heels do. It's just kind of what they do. And of course, you know, that, you know, and Rock was, you know, a huge megastar because, you know, and because it didn't matter, he just because of what tremendous performer he was and, you know, he was able to get heat through it and it was fine. So, you know, the idea that Miz needs to, like, you know, you can argue with kind of how Miz has been presented here or there. I do think one thing, you know, you talked about how great that video was and it was awesome, but they really should have shown or be showing it on Raw, you know, over the next like few weeks, you know, as like, cause I think like it, you're right. It really did make Miz seem like a big deal. And I think part of the flaw in kind of how he's been presented and particularly in the Rock Cena buildup is even though he's done some good things and he laid out Cena a lot and he had some good promos, he definitely was presented as the afterthought in some of that. And I, you know, they're willing to get behind him in certain respects, but they also like seem to not let him be the center of things, which he kind of really should be, you know, as their champion and as like, you know, their breakout star. And I think they, you know, kind of need, you know, should, you know, do things to emphasize him more, you know, even though obviously he's a featured guy on the show. But I think that hype video is one thing, you know, showing that a few times, I think, you know, like I said, it made you kind of really believe like, oh yeah, he's a top level main event guy. And, you know, I definitely felt the same way. And I think more people seeing it, obviously people saw it at WrestleMania, but there's, you know, a huge audience on Raw that didn't see WrestleMania that, you know, could benefit right from it too. So
definitely.
Yeah.
No, they should definitely run that package on TV for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, actually, it would have been even better to run before WrestleMania, but you know, if maybe it
was. I thought it was a nice perk for WrestleMania. I like when you get special things like that
yeah,
you haven't seen on TV.
I agree, but I think it would have served. I think it would have like gotten people like even more excited about Miz and more excited and would have made more people heading into the show think more of Miz. And I think that would have been a little bit beneficial for WrestleMania, but I agree. It is nice to have the exclusive hype videos too. So not a huge deal in the scheme of things, but I do think, yeah, show that video more and, you know, and get behind Miz in, you know, in interesting different ways if you can. But, another question, sticking with The Miz, is from the Chris104. This is on Twitter. You can check us out, twitter.com/retrospective. Is when do they turn Miz? I don't think they're going to turn him anytime soon because I think he's, you know, pretty much their top heel, and I don't really see any point in turning him anytime soon. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It's very hard for me to envision him as a face right now.
Yeah. He could be a good one down the line, but...
Yeah, no, definitely. I can see it from him, definitely. But, yeah, I don't think... I don't know. I can't see it being anytime soon. I would say it would have to be, you know, maybe after the next year or so. You know, I think he has probably another good year as a heel. I think he'll have a great face run when he does switch. I can see it. I can envision it as definitely being a good possibility. You know, but right now, yeah, he's too on point, you know, as that cocky heel. So yeah, I mean, it'll be quite some time before, you know, we see a face turn.
Okay. All right. And a couple more. Ringside Excess asks, our thoughts on WWE. Apparently they fined Triple H and Undertaker for the chair shot to the head at WrestleMania. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, I guess, you know, if that's a rule that they don't want people doing that, and it's a good rule to have because obviously chair shots to the head are not a good thing to have. Although, you know, if you do one once a year, that's certainly better than doing it all the time, which is what they used to do. So, you know, I can see that. But yeah, you know, I think it's good to have guys, you know, have guys follow the rules. And obviously Triple H and Undertaker are both, you know, powerful tenured guys. And, you know, Triple H, especially being in the McMahon family and looking like he's, you know, the number two guy, you know, and being groomed for, you know, eventually being in charge, you know, that's a good thing. So, what do you think?
It's a tricky one. I mean, I don't even know if I believe that they were truly fined. I think that was obviously discussed beforehand and they both agreed to it. And I think, you know, Vince understood it. And, you know, obviously Triple H has booking power. And I think that, you know, I think this is being done as more of a, you know, face thing to, you know, to the stockholders and all, since they've made it apparent that this is the rule, that there's no more, you know, chair headshots, you know, so, you know, they have to make it look like they're getting, you know, fined over it. Just like, you know, supposedly John Cena got fined, you know, for some of the things he said in that first, you know, Rock promo when he rapped, you know, and I find it very hard to believe he got fined also. You know, I think that's just WWE putting their media, you know, marketing spin on it. But, you know, if they were fine, then, you know, it's cool. You know, I don't really, either way, I don't really have much to say about it. Obviously, it's kind of like bleeding, you know, like it doesn't need to be done all the time. But I think there's certain matches where, you just got to kind of pull it out. And if both guys are cool with it, then, you know, go for it. I mean, I think that should be up to the individual superstar. You know, this is WrestleMania. This match was supposed to be violent. It was no holds barred. You know, there's only so many times you can hit somebody on the back with a chair. You know, the head chair shots really stuck out to me in that match because you don't see that every day now, you know? So, you know, I thought it was, you know, it worked for that match. And as long as all parties were cool with it, then, you know, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it need. I mean, like, I don't know. I think the damage that we've seen from chair shots to the head and the kind of the evidence that they've of the problems they've caused, I don't think you need them. And, you know, and I don't think it really did particularly much. I mean, I thought the 10 chair shots he gave to the back while it was in the ground, you know, were and in all everything that Ellis Undertaker had to go through, you know, was adequate. I like when I saw it, I was like, wow, they did a chair shot to the head. And I thought and I was like, well, you know, he got his hands up at the very last moment, which you could barely see, which, you know, usually at least, you know, helps. Although that was a pretty hard chair shot too. So, you know, who knows? I'm not a scientist, but, so yeah, I think discouraging chair shots to the head is good. And if that's a good way to do it, then that's fine. But, last question we have is from the Real Lime. And, he asks, what do you think's next for Undertaker? So we've kind of talked a little bit about this, but I guess, you know, I'm guessing he's gone for quite a while because usually at least to like SummerSlam time.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's probably the thing. I guess, you know, you could go to Triple H. You could even do one match at SummerSlam with Triple H. You could do another one at WrestleMania, which, you know, maybe Triple H wins the SummerSlam match and then you do their match at WrestleMania, or, you know, maybe Undertaker moves on to something else. I get the feeling Undertaker doesn't have a whole lot of matches left in him. So they got to be pretty judicious about it. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he has a long time left. Maybe he'll have a long career and everything will be great. But so really, really hard to say without knowing when he comes back or, you know, who knows who will be ready for him at that point, you know?
Yeah, I would obviously have to say his next thing will be Triple H again. I mean, it's kind of hard to go any other route now that Triple H has said he's waiting for him as soon as he gets back. So, I mean, I would have to say, hands down, whenever he gets back, you know, whenever that comes to be, you know, it's got to be, you know, him and Triple H again. But like I said, I have to assume that would be around SummerSlam time. The timing just seems to make sense. You know, it's, you know, it should be enough time for him to be 100%, you know, at that point, if he is, you know, totally gone from now till then, you know. So, yeah, so, I mean, that should be the next stage of Undertaker.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, any more thoughts on WrestleMania or WWE in general?
Let's talk about Sin Cara. What'd you think about his debut?
Oh, yeah, that's true. This pretty spectacular. Almost had a little slip up on the rope at the very beginning, but I thought I thought they totally just, you know, went right through it, and, you know, and it was pretty much forgotten after the you know, the Hurricane Rana he did, and then especially that dive off of the post. I mean, that was pretty spectacular. So, yeah, nice little debut for him, and excited to see kind of what he is able to do. And, you know, interesting to start off with Sheamus, whether, you know, I mean, but then again, you know, WWE doesn't have a whole lot of small guys. I mean, they have more than they used to, but it's not like, you know, it's not like he can just be around and work with, you know, small guys the entire time. He's going to have to work with the big boys. So, you know, and, so it'll be interesting whether they, you know, whether happen to be Sheamus or what, and whether he'll do a feud with him or whether he'll work with someone else or kind of what the plan is. But, nice launch for him. Good to see, you know, them bring in, somebody new. You know, obviously he's had a lot of great matches in Mexico and a big career there. And, hopefully he's able to, you know, whatever, you know, style adjustments he has to make or whatever, you know, he'll run into as far as that goes. Hopefully, you know, he'll work through it, and I think it'll be exciting.
Yeah, no, I was pretty stoked, you know, to see his debut. I've been looking, you know, pretty forward to his debut now for a while, and, you know, definitely takes me back to the very early days of Rey Mysterio. you know, when he was super, super exciting. And, you know, I see some great stuff from him. I've been watching some of his older videos and his house show videos of him against Primo. And the guy's pretty, pretty awesome. So right now it doesn't look like he is signed to Raw or anything. It looks like he'll be coming out on SmackDown this Friday as well. So it looks like they'll be playing the whole thing where he just kind of comes out and he keeps kind of, you know, jumping certain people and making an impact. So I'd be very curious to see where he winds up. I think he should be on SmackDown when he does kind of settle on a brand. I think, you know, he'll kind of get lost in the shuffle on Raw like Evan Bourne does and stuff like that. So I think he needs to be in the same brand as Rey, you know, and they can maybe do some cool stuff together. So I'm very excited to see what comes about with him.
Cool. We have a spoiler alert. Do you want to hear it? It's just the first main event for Extreme Rules. It's not really.
Yeah, I know it already.
Okay. All right. Well, if you don't want to know, then end the show here. You can stop the show here because that's probably the last thing we'll talk about. But it is Edge and Alberto Del Rio for the world title in a ladder match. So.
Yep.
Christian not
Alberto beats Alberto beats Christian to become number one contender.
Ah, so. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So so we basically predicted right. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Obviously Edge has a pretty good track record in ladder matches, both in terms of quality of match and in terms of winning them. He wins most of them, not all of them, obviously, but. So we'll see how that goes. That should be pretty fun. So Don, let everyone know about future endeavors and plug all your websites and Twitter and stuff.
Sure. Right before I jump into that, one more thing I wanted to ask you if you saw or chat about is the debut of Tough Enough last night. Did you get a chance to see?
No, I did not get a chance to see it yet. So.
All right. Well, I guess we can't chat about it, but I will say it was awesome. I did watch it, and I loved it, and I'm very excited to see the rest of the season. So definitely highly, highly recommended to check out.
Cool. I definitely will check it. I've never seen Tough Enough before, so I'm interested in how it turns out. So we'll see. We'll talk about it next time.
All right. Sounds good. So definitely, you know, to find me, I am on Twitter, mostly twitter.com/DXDonMega. Of course, you know, my wrestling show is called Future Endeavors. It's on every Sunday, 11 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. And you can, of course, listen on future-endeavors.com. We are, of course, on Facebook as well, facebook.com/futureendeavors. Twitter as well, twitter.com/futureendeavors. So check out the show. We, you know, every week, new episode, we chat about, you know, obviously the news of week and event and events and do pay-per-view specials, the whole nine. So go back, check out the archive. We are now officially on iTunes as well. So we've joined you over there, Mr. Wrestlespective. So look All for right. Future Endeavors over on iTunes and check us out.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on the show, and thanks, everyone, for listening, and goodbye.